Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28, Paranjana becomes a woman in the next life, Text 50. Chitim Darumayim. Something wrong? What verse are we supposed to be doing? I thought it was 50. Oh, it's 51? Okay. Okay, so text 51. Tatra Purvataraha Kaschit Saka Brahmana Atmavan Santavyam Valguna Samna Tam Aha Rudatim Prabho Tatra Purvatara Kashchi Saka Brahmana Atmavan Santvayan Valguna Samna Tamaha Rudatim Prabho Tatra Purvatara Kashchi Saka Brahmana Atmavan Santvayan Valguna Samna Tamaha Rudatim Prabho Tatra Purvatara Kashchit Saka Brahmana Atmavan Santvayan Valguna Samna Tamaha Rudatim Prabho Vaishnavis. Tatra Purvatara Kashchit. Tatra Purvatara Kashchit. Translation of purport by Srila Prabhupada. Please repeat. Tatra. In that place. Pravatara. Previous. Kaschit. Someone. Saka. Friend. Brahmana. A Brahman. Atmavan. A very learned scholar. Santayan. Pacifying. Valguna. By very nice. Samna. Mitigating words. Tam. Under her. Aha. He said. Rudatim. While she was crying. Prabhu. My dear King. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. So please repeat. My dear King, one Brahmana, who was an old friend of King Paranjana, came to that place and began to pacify the queen with sweet words. Purport. The appearance of an old friend in the form of a Brahmana is very significant. In his Paramatma feature, Krishna is the old friend of everyone. According to Vedic injunction, Krishna is sitting with the living entity side by side. According to the Shruti mantra, Dva Suparna Sayuja Sakayaha, the Lord is sitting within the heart of every living entity as Suhrit, the best friend. The Lord is always eager to have the living entity come home back to Godhead. Sitting with the living entity as witness, the Lord gives him all chances to enjoy himself materially. But whenever there is an opportunity, the Lord gives good counsel and advises the living entity to abandon trying to become happy through material adjustment and instead turn his face toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrender unto Him. When one becomes serious to follow the mission of the spiritual master, his resolution is tantamount to seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As explained before, this means meeting the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the instruction of the spiritual master. This is technically called Vani Seva. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur states in his Bhagavad Gita commentary on the verse Vyavasayatmika Budhi Sekaha Kurunandana, Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 41, that one should serve the words of the spiritual master. The disciple must stick to whatever the spiritual master orders. Simply by following on that line, one sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Paramatma, appeared before the queen as a Brahmana. But why didn't he appear in his original form as Sri Krishna? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks that unless one is very highly elevated, in loving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One cannot see Him as He is. Nonetheless, if one sticks to the principles enunciated by the spiritual master, somehow or other, he is in association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since the Lord is in the heart, he can advise a sincere disciple from within. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text 10. Tesham sarada yuktanam vajitam pritipurvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. In conclusion, if a disciple is very serious to execute the mission of the spiritual master, he immediately associates with the Supreme Personality of Godhead by Vani or Vapu. This is the only secret of success in seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Instead of being eager to see the Supreme Personality of the Lord in some bush of Vrindavan, while at the same time engaging in sense gratification, if one instead sticks to the principle of following the words of the spiritual master, he will see the Supreme Lord without difficulty. Srila Bilvamangal Thakur has therefore said, Bhaktisthvai stira tara bhagavan yadi syat divena na palati divya kishora murtihi mukti swayam mukulitanjali sevatisman dharmarta kama gataya samaya pratikshata. If I am engaged in devotional service unto you, my dear Lord, then very easily can I perceive your presence everywhere. And as far as liberation is concerned, I think that liberation stands at my door with folded hands waiting to serve me in all material conveniences of dharma, religiosity, artha, economic development, and kama, sense gratification, stand with her. That's from the Krishna Karanamrita, verse 107. If one is very highly advanced in devotional service, he will have no difficulty in seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one engages in the service of the spiritual master, he not only sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but attains liberation. As far as material conveniences are concerned, they automatically come, and just as the maidservants of a queen follow with the queen wherever she goes. Liberation is no problem for the pure devotee, and all material conveniences are simply awaiting him at all stages of life. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Nalitanyena Tasmai Shri Gurudeva Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So after Srila Prabhupada departed from this world in 1977, in many of the temples in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, this particular set of verses was read for the Bhagavatam classes for several days, because they speak to what is necessary for the disciple on the disappearance of the spiritual master. So my recollection was that in New Dwarka also that was done. You know, these verses were, you know, whatever they were reading in the Bhagavatam, they went to these verses after Srila Prabhupada departed. So we're getting good instruction. We're learning the importance of, you know, the spiritual master. Krishna explains throughout, you know, the Vedic literature the importance. Tad vigyanartam sa gurum evabhigach chet. That means if one wants vigyana, one has to approach the spiritual master. For jnana, just ordinary knowledge, one can approach so many people. But if we want vijnana, knowledge of the spiritual truths in a realized way, not just a theoretical way, and then, you know, we need to do what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Tadvidi Pranipatena, Pariprashnena Sevaya, Upadekshanti Te Jnana, Jnaninas Tatvadarshanha. Jnaninas Tatvadarshanha. So, this means one has to approach the spiritual master, inquire submissively, render service. Then, you know, one can get this higher knowledge, this vijnana. Yasya prasada, Bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada, na gati kutopi. By pleasing the spiritual master, one pleases Krishna. So that's what's being stressed, you know, by, you know, Srila Prabhupada in this purport. You know, there's some very, you know, important instructions therein. For example, he says, when one becomes serious to follow the mission of the spiritual master, his resolution is tantamount to seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, that's what we're meant to do. We're meant to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone wants that. The whole reason that we're here, you know, in the material world is that we've turned from Krishna. Krishna Bahir Mukahana Bhogavachakari Nikatashta Vayatari Japati Atare. Means Krishna Bahir Mukha means we've turned from Krishna, we've looked somewhere else. So therefore Krishna has hidden himself because we've turned away from him somehow or other. Krishna Bahir Mukahana Bhogavanchakari, and why do we turn from Krishna? Because we want to satisfy our own selfish desires. We want to act independently of Krishna. So when we turn from Krishna to try to act independently from his service, then nikatasta maya, very nearby is maya, who captures us, nikatasta mayatari japati adari. And when we're captured by maya, we experience that if we turn from Krishna, if we search for something else, if we give up Krishna's service to try to satisfy our own selfish independent desires, then we experience a lot of trouble. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha anadarshana. We become caught in the cycle of birth and death, and even within life, we become subject to so many different kinds of miseries, the adiatmic miseries, the miseries that come from our own mind and bodies, the adibhautic miseries, the miseries that come from other human beings, other kinds of living beings, and finally the adidaivika miseries, the miseries that come as what people call, in the form of what people call acts of God. And just like in the central part of the United States right now, they're undergoing huge floods, historic floods that are causing a lot of disruption in people's lives. But everyone will experience these things. Everyone will experience the adi-daivic miseries in one form or another. At one point in time, it may be one group of people that will suffer from floods or tsunamis or earthquakes or other kinds of things. But everyone will experience these miseries. At one point, one may be relatively free from the adiatmic miseries, the miseries that come from one's own mind and body. But at some point, everyone experiences them. At some point, one might be relatively free from the miseries caused by other humans, other living beings. But eventually, everyone experiences these things, in addition to the more general miseries of birth, death, old age, and disease. So this is a cause of frustration. Of course, when we leave the spiritual world, or when we come to this material world, Krishna accompanies us as the Super Soul, our dear friend, who knows us very, very well, who knows us very, very intimately. So this intimate friend, Super Soul, accompanies us. Even when we turn from Krishna, Krishna never turns away from us. He always comes. He wants to give us our freedom. He allows us to experience life independent of him, if that's what we want. But he's always there in the heart, always waiting for us to turn again to him. And then when we do, when Krishna observes on that very, very deep level, that level of the innermost chamber of the heart, when he detects some sign that a soul wants to return to him, then externally, Krishna manifests in the form of the devotees, the spiritual masters, the Vedic literature, the deity, his holy name. And he begins to give us a chance to really seriously get back on the path, back home, back to Godhead. And Rupa Goswami outlines the different steps on that path. Adau Shraddha, first that little bit of faith. You know, Krishna observes, yes, this person has a little bit of faith. So then let me give this person the association of devotees. Adau Shraddha, Tata Sadhu Sangha, Tata Bhajana Kriya. And then let me give this person the opportunity to take up devotional service in some way. And then if that person's a little serious, you know, sweeps the temple floor, contributes something to the temple, then give him the further opportunity to surrender to a bona fide spiritual master and follow the orders and instructions. Of course, we have our founder Acharya, our founding spiritual master, Shiksha Guru for everyone in ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada. And we also have his assistants in the line of disciplic succession, those who are functioning as Vartma Pradarshika Gurus, gurus who show us the way to Krishna consciousness, who initially guide us on the path. The Shiksha Gurus who give us practical instructions how to carry out devotional service, and the Diksha Gurus who give initiation. So, here in this purport, Srila Prabhupada says that, as I said, when one becomes serious to follow the mission of the spiritual master, his resolution is tantamount to seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this indicates that the spiritual master has a mission, a purpose. It's not just he's some nice guy who's here, but he has a mission to carry out, a purpose. And that means some kind of organized activity, just like Srila Prabhupada declared what the mission of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness was. You know, it was to give people all over the world this opportunity to learn the science of devotional service and to carry out this mission by opening temples, distributing transcendental literatures, and all kinds of things, establishing farm communities. You know, you can go back and read, the purposes of ISKCON, that Srila Prabhupada established. So, for those who become serious about this, when they see, yes, I should follow the general instructions that the spiritual master gives. For example, at the time of initiation, we all take vows. You have to chant a certain number of rounds each day, 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra on the japa beads. We also vow to avoid intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, and meat eating. So those are general instructions for our purification. We have to accept those instructions. We're also given instructions to live in the society of devotees, to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, worship the deity. We're given those kinds of instructions as well. But we also have to pay attention to the mission of the spiritual master, his purpose of spreading Krishna consciousness to every town and village in the world. So, of course, that was Srila Prabhupada's mission, and all of his followers in disciplic succession, they also have the same mission. Of course, Srila Prabhupada was the founder of Acharya, therefore he had the whole mission as his responsibility. But in as time has gone on, spiritual masters, Shiksha gurus, Diksha gurus, Varma Pradarshika gurus, they have parts of the mission that they've dedicated themselves to. Perhaps they have some Prabhudatta Desh, some particular area of the world, where they've been given some responsibility. For example, here we're in Los Angeles, so we have responsibilities here to carry out. But others, they may have responsibilities in other areas. And it may not just be a geographical kind of distribution of responsibilities for the mission. Some devotees have taken responsibility for book publication. Some have taken responsibility for book distribution. Some have taken responsibility for, organizing prasadam distribution and festivals and so on and so forth. So, somehow or other, in addition to following the more general instructions of the spiritual master, we should also feel some personal responsibility to assist the spiritual master in his mission. And of course, this is done in an organized way in our International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Srila Prabhupada, gave, instructions how the society should be organized so that everyone can work in a cooperative way, while at the same time fulfilling their individual capacities to serve. Just like in any organization, whether it's a company or a military organization or whatever, people have different responsibilities, but it's all done in an organized way so that the overall progress of the whole group or the whole organization goes on. So that everybody's, it's not that everybody could just be going this way, and that way, and that way the mission gets lost. But at the same time, everybody can't be doing exactly the same thing, or else everything doesn't get done. So, different responsibilities have to be given to different people. Different devotees take up particular parts of the mission, but it has to be done in a coordinated way so that the mission itself makes progress. So, if we do that, if we actually, in our hearts, take up some part of the mission of Srila Prabhupada in a very determined way, then Srila Prabhupada says here, that determination is tantamount to seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's how we first encounter, you know, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when we do that, we begin to notice how Krishna reciprocates with us. If we have a sincere desire to carry out Krishna's mission, even though it may be very difficult, we'll see that, yes, Krishna will help us. Krishna will guide us. Krishna will give us a facility. And then when we see that Krishna is reciprocating with us, then we should feel very grateful to Krishna, Krishna's representative, the spiritual master. And in that way, we can actually begin to experience Krishna in our lives, in every little detail, if we understand that actually everything is going on by the mercy of Krishna, by the mercy of Krishna's representative. And that way, and that's how we actually begin to see Krishna. When we take up his mission in a very serious way, dedicate ourselves to it, and then begin to notice how Krishna reciprocates with us in carrying out that service. You know, for example, there's a huge festival coming up, you know, the Ratha Yatra. Every year I'm just amazed how it happens, because it requires the coordinated activity of so many people to see that the prasadam is there, the permits are there, the carts are there, all the exhibits are there, everything. It's an amazing task. And everyone who participates, even though it may seem, you know, when we think about it, oh, it's impossible, how can I do this? But if we throw ourselves into it, then we see it happens. Everything actually happens according to the desire of Lord Jagannath. And then when that's happening and we see it happening, then that is the equivalent. If we dedicate ourselves to that service, and then we actually see how Krishna reciprocates to make it all happen, then that's seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the first step in seeing. Srila Prabhupada gives a technical term here. He says it's seeing in the Vani. Seeing not necessarily the Vapu at first, but seeing Krishna in the instruction and in our efforts to carry out those instructions. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any question or comments? Archito.
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for a nice presentation. You mentioned about taking up particular aspects of the mission of the spiritual master, and we know that recently you were involved in discussions about the Vedic planetarium, so I was wondering if you could share any of that with us.
Harisari Prabhu invited me to attend a meeting of the devotees who were involved in the planning of the exhibits for the Temple of Vedic Planetarium that Srila Prabhupada wanted constructed in Mayapur. It was one of his main desires, and it's as yet an unfulfilled desire, so there's an opportunity there for devotees to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission in that way. Another group of devotees is working on the actual structure of the building. And it's going to be a temple. Deities will be there. But Srila Prabhupada was also very explicit that he wanted a planetarium there that would help people understand what the Gaudiya Vaishnava view on the universe is, you know, based on, you know, the fifth canto of, you know, the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Brahma Samhita and things like that. So there are a lot of ways that this is going to be done. One way that it's going to be done is in the main temple. If you look at the design of the temple, you see there's like one big central dome under which the deities are going to be, Panchatattva and the other deities. And then on another side, there's another smaller dome under which there will be Lord Nrisingadev. And on the other side, there's another smaller dome. And in that section of the temple, there'll be a planetarium, exhibits, and things like that. In the central part of the dome, there will also be, Srila Prabhupada asked for a chandelier, like that would have the planets arranged according to the Vedic conception. And so that will be there also. There are devotees working on that, the design of this chandelier, which will be a model of the planetary systems as we understand them from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then also on the inside of that main dome, there will be sculptures and things that show the inhabitants of the lower planets, the inhabitants of the earthly planets, the inhabitants of the heavenly planets, and Vaikuntha, finally. It'll be modeled on the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where there's a journey, through the different levels of the Vedic cosmos going all the way up to Goloka Vrindavan. So that will be there as part of the structure. But then in this other part, which is the part that this particular meeting was concerned with, there'll be the plan is to have on one level, there are three levels. On the top level, there'll be a planetarium theater done according to the latest kind of technology. The latest sort of technology that they have for these they don't call them planetariums anymore. They call them planetarium theaters. And they have, instead of a whole, like in a standard planetarium, they just have it's like you're sitting under a upturned bowl or something. But the latest ones, they have these screens, kind of curved screens that, just kind of go back over your head. And you sit in theater-like chairs. So there'll be room for about 200 chairs in this theater. So that's part of it. And then, of course, devotees like Sadaputta Prabhu, for example, and others will be planning shows that can be, you can do all kinds of things. You can take people on a journey through the different layers of the universe, breaking through to the Brahma Jyoti and then going through all the Vaikuntha planets to Goloka Vrindavan. Or you can have more standard shows, showing what was the arrangement of constellations at Janmashtami, Krishna's birth, or Lord Chaitanya's appearance. There was an eclipse of the moon. You can show how the eclipses take place and things like that. So there are many different kinds of shows that can be done in these planetarium theaters. So there's planning for that that's going on. And then on the second level, they want to have some small lecture rooms and things like that for scholars and school groups who come, so that perhaps maybe after they go to a planetarium show, they can meet with devotee scientists and teachers and get more in-depth information. And then on the third level, the lowest one, they're going to be museum-type exhibits about different aspects of Vedic science and cosmology and history of life on Earth and things like that. And there, in those exhibits, the idea will be to try to overcome doubts that some people may have about the reality of these things. And that's what Srila Prabhupada's intention was. So, things go according to plan. Then the construction of the building begin this year, and then it'll take about 6 or 7 years for the building to be constructed. But the planning for what goes inside the building has to be done kind of simultaneously. So this was kind of an initial meeting of a group of devotees. Jaya Pataka Swami was there, Ravindra Sarup was there, I was there, Hari Sari, Sadaputta, Nityatripta, other devotees took part in this initial planning meeting. Yes?
Prabhu, in the purport, there was quite a bit of time devoted to, I guess, Bill of Mangala Thakur's statement, and then Srila Prabhupada says that for a pure devotee, that Krishna arranges all the material conveniences. And I was wondering if you could expound on that a little bit. Is this for a sannyasi to kind of just devote yourself and not worry about the material conveniences, or for grihasas as well?
It's for everyone, every sincere devotee. Krishna says, yoga kshemam vahamyaham. If one is serious about serving Krishna, Krishna will arrange somehow or other that one has facility to carry out that service. And sometimes, I mean, we have to understand that whatever ashram we're in, we're sannyas, brahmachari, vanaprastha, whatever, grihastha, it's always Krishna who is supporting us. It may appear that Krishna is doing it through one's own hand. It may appear that Krishna is doing it through the hand of someone else giving you charity. But really, all of that is under Krishna's control. We don't have any power to maintain ourselves, even if we're in that, whatever ashram we're in. Krishna is still maintaining his devotees. He may do it through our own work. He may do it through the work of others, the charity of others. But somehow or other, Krishna is maintaining all of his devotees. And in that process, Krishna is trying to give us what we need to do the service, but he gives it to us in such a way that we become, say, like even myself, I look at myself. I mean, the way I'm able to do, say, my service, traveling to that meeting in Gainesville and doing the other preaching I do around the world, is mainly due to the fact that in following the instruction of Srila Prabhupada, I've written some books about science and Krishna consciousness, and there's some income from those books that allows me to do what I need to do. And sometimes I look at it, I think, it's not very much. Why? Why is it that other people are writing books that are, they're getting millions of dollars from those books? Why is Krishna only giving me a few thousand dollars? That's just barely enough to allow me to do what I need to do. And the way I kind of meditate on this, Krishna knows how much, he knows that if I gave that rascal Judhakarma any more money, he would go buy himself a house in the Bahamas and that'd be the end of his science preaching. But, so Krishna gives. I mean, this is just my personal realization, is that Krishna, he's supporting. I mean, like, look at Los Angeles. There's 20 million people in the Los Angeles area. And even their sinful people eating, Krishna's still supporting all of them. So Krishna's also going to support his sincere devotees, but he's going to do it in such a way, he's going to give them, if they have a sincere desire to serve, Krishna will give them some facility to do it. But he'll give it in such a way that they don't become distracted by other things. Just some personal realization. You were going to say something. I'll let you do that. Then I think we have to stop.
Just when you started out, you said that Krishna, if you're sincere and you're doing a service, Krishna will, I guess, facilitate you in doing that service.
Yes.
And I understand that. That sounds like that there's Lakshmi or material energy to do his service. Like, he's just providing for you to do him service. But
right.
The verse was talking about material conveniences, and I don't really have a clear idea
That
even means.
I take that to mean whatever our material conveniences of, in the verse it says, of religiosity, dharma, arta, kama. So this means whatever, usually people perform dharma to get some result. So whatever result one needs in terms of religiosity, you know, Krishna's going to provide that. Like people, they perform ritual activities to get certain results. But I think Krishna's is, I think what Bilva Mangala Thakur is saying there is that a devotee has no need to go and perform religious rituals to get some reputation or facility or convenience. And then the next thing he says is, so we don't have to do that. If we perform just a devotional service to Krishna, bhakti yoga, you know, we don't have to depend on the normal yajnas and things that people do to ensure wealth and prosperity and religiosity and things like that. Then the next thing he says, the results of artha, economic development. We don't have to engage in ugra karmic activities to... Srila Prabhupada often warned against that. He said, you know, if something's very, very difficult, if wealth can be gotten in some simple way, some easy way, but he said the devotee shouldn't over-endeavor, you know, for material things. So it appears to me what Bilva Mangala Thakur is saying here is whatever wealth that's needed will come somehow or other if you perform, you know, the activities of devotional service. And then whatever kama, whatever satisfaction that the senses require will be given as well. I think that's what it says here. It says all material conveniences of dharma, artha, kama, we don't have to work separately for. But it should come naturally as the result of devotional service. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.